I'm Randy Hahn, and you're listening to another podcast from Teal Town, USA.
Why, thank you, Randy. And boy, howdy, is this one to be remembered in Sharks history. My goodness. It's just a crazy night. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Cheers to everyone. I'm sure you're going to have a good night if you're a Sharks fan. Heck, Evander Kane did along with the Sharks. They beat the Flames 7-4. Their third consecutive win. Welcome to this edition of Teal Town After Dark. Oh my goodness. Someone get a rooster. Heck, let's just go topless, guys, like Jumbo would say. Never mind. No, we're not going to do that. No. If you want to be a part of the show, please use the hashtag TealTownUSA. You can also join us on the social at hashtag TealTownUSA. But, of course, join us in the YouTube chat on the page or the app. And for more news and opinions, hit us up at TealTownUSA.com. And join us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and YouTube. With me tonight, it is the lovely Rocket Backhander.
I am that Canadian penny that you find in all your change, and you're kind of torn on whether or not you want to get rid of it or keep it. Rocket Backhander.
Thank you very much. Also joining us tonight, Mr. Alex Martinet.
Heyo.
Heyo. And joining us tonight as well, it's a foursome with AJ Strong.
Jumbo, if you're watching, we need a new farm animal to stroke.
Oh, God. Wow. And with that, folks, let's talk about this game. Or wait a minute, better yet, let's talk about this game.
Breaking news, Mike Smith is retired.
Yes, that's true. All right, so let's grip it and rip it and get at it here. Sharks, Flames, this is a huge game for the Flames. They needed this game to get some points against the Sharks. You have that four-point swing. But things started getting going for the Sharks first as Evander Kane gets his first of the game, his 22nd on the season, assisted by Yannick Hansen, who comes into the lineup first time in 7 games to replace essentially Jonas Donskoy. Of course, a lot of line juggling here. But Rock, what did you think of Evander's first goal this evening?
I was really pleased that it was his first goal. Was the first goal of the game, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Caught Smith sleeping.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about Mike Smith. I can't. Nothing about the guy personally, but I hate him. I hate him as a goalie because of how frustrating it was to play Arizona and have him just always stand on his head and perpetually lose his mask. So I'm glad that Sharks got to chase him from the net tonight. That was great. Kane's first goal was lovely. Kane's second goal was lovely too.
Yeah, all four of them were nice. Unfortunately, the lead wouldn't last that long as Troy Brouwer, after getting a cage attached to him, after taking some type of facial injury, he gets back in at 16:42 to get the Flames tied up at 1-1. That's how we were stand after one period. Alex, first period, not too bad. I thought both teams played pretty solid so far.
Yeah. On that goal, though, I don't know what Brandon Allen was doing. It looked like he lost his feet, and then that led directly to Brouwer, who was right open in front of the net. And if he didn't make that, he wasn't going to score any goals that game. You know, it was a good back and forth in the first period. It was good to have Kane score his first goal as a San Jose Shark, or first goal as
on the road. No, this is his what his at that time would have been his
third
as a Shark.
Yeah.
So yeah. All right, AJ, what did you take from the first?
I was unimpressed with the Sharks to open things up. It doesn't help that we start this game with Donskoy being out after the shoulder injury versus Edmonton. The Flames outshot the Sharks 9-3 in the first, so that does kind of give you an idea of where the Sharks were at in the first. Kind of slow, and I'm not going to lie, it does make me a little nervous about what happens tomorrow in Vancouver when they're playing their third and four nights. But just to echo what they, you know, what these guys said, I mean, Kane just totally caught Smith napping, and that looked like a breaking ball coming in towards Smith, but it was a harbinger of things to come. Smith clearly not on his game tonight. Jones and Dylan did get a little bit crossed up for that Brouwer tally at 16:42, but clearly there was some good mojo. You know what it was? How great did the Sharks? I mean, like, it didn't start off real good, but during that intermission, there must have been something. Maybe it's because Brody and Kubro did no intermission
today. I don't know, Brody,
if you're watching.
Oh boy, no. Kevin Lacey brings up a damn good fact, and I am so bummed by it. It's pretty ironic that Kane scored four goals after Safeway ends the $1 million score in one promotion.
Well, that's not ironic.
That sucks, though, man.
I don't understand how that's ironic, because that promotion ended like 6 weeks ago. Yeah, like, if it had ended yesterday, I could say, okay, that's that. There's a little bit of irony, but...
But we had, what, one hat trick in that whole time that that promotion
tour?
Yeah, that was it. We had we had several two goal games, but I digress.
What was her name, Rocket?
Who?
The woman who won.
I can't pronounce that.
It was three K's, four I's.
No. I forget the woman's name, but anyway.
I forget. I will look that up. But as we move along, Evander Kane gets his second of the game after the Flames take a 2-1 lead. But Kane gets a nice tip from the shot from the point. So again, his second of the game ties it up 2-2 after freaking. Where am I?
I don't know.
Hi again.
A question I ask myself on a daily basis, Eric.
Well, right? You know, especially tonight, it's just been.
Manda in the chat nailing it. Wanda Lockwood, remember she was.
That's
the
it. Yeah.
Thanks, Manda.
Good job. Points for you. Mark Jankowski had that shot at 2:10 to give Calgary the 2-1 lead. Then Evander Kane gets his 23rd, as you saw from Dilly Dilly.
Oh man. When Couture scored his hat trick, who was that against?
The Islanders.
Oh.
Yep.
And where did I don't know that Nick is right on this one. Nick saying that Evander Kane was on the ice for both hat tricks for Teal this year.
No.
Yeah,
because we didn't get him until the trade deadline. That hat trick was way earlier.
Well, no, but he could have been on the opposing team.
Well, that would mean he doesn't play
for the Islanders. Well.
Yeah. Exactly. So, Nick.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy there. Moving onward. So, Gaudreau with a wicked shot. He gets his 23rd on the year. Ferland and Stone on the assist at 10:16. Calgary goes back up 3-2. That's the last goal they score tonight as... Not even a minute and a half later, Kevin makes a deposit in LeBanc. Rocket, let's talk about the rocket shot from LeBanc as he gets his 10th from Bernsey to tie this game up at 3-3.
I think Kevin LeBanc needed this production stat just because he's been a bit dry lately. And I think that as glorious as he was during periods, he just is real. What's the word that they use? Streaky. You know, he gets hot and then he's just dead cold, and then
also
they send
known
him down
as
to the
inconsistent.
End. Hey, you know, same thing. Just to go back to Kane's second goal for a second, if I can.
Go for it.
The place that I've noticed that he's the most comfortable parking himself up in front of the net at the point. Like, that's his spot. And I've seen him just get scoring chance after scoring chance because he parks himself right there. He's a big body and he doesn't get pushed off the puck. It's the perfect position for him and he plays it beautifully. This system and him apparently just get along really, really well together. And I've been saying this for a couple of games now. So I'm glad that seeing him score from that position is really gratifying. Back to Kevin. Good job, Kevin. Do it some more because you're not doing it enough and you're not doing it often enough. I love you. Next.
Well, and that shot from LeBanc, I mean, that was taken from almost the half boards. I mean, that was a snipe shot at a ridiculous angle over the shoulder, up in the corner of the net. Just an absolutely beautiful shot. Couldn't get enough of that. And along with the fact that somebody must have like nudged DeBoer like early in the second and saying, you know, you still have Hansen on the top line, right? And let me put Tierney up there or something. I mean,
no, I think the problem with LeBanc is he looks to pass way too often when he needs to. And He passes up so many good shooting opportunities to pass the puck.
So do you think he's trying to fill in Jumbo's role then?
Yes.
No,
yeah, I think he was passing before that.
Yeah, he was doing that before, but I think he was trying to fill Marlowe's role. And Marlowe in his prime could be a good assist leader. Mm-hmm. And I think he just couldn't do that while being a good score player. So maybe that's just not, maybe he can't do both at the same time.
Yeah, I think getting onto that point, I think he was looking to pass a little more before Jumbo got here for sure. And definitely he would be more of a passing guy when he was off Jumbo's line when Jumbo was here. Yeah. And funny you guys say about, you know, Hansen put Tierney on. Well, Tierney was on this line when Evander Kane gets his first hat trick in the NHL. It took him over 500 plus games, but he gets it and it was a nice shot. And then he picks up the rebound. That's always good. Grab that rebound, slide it in. That makes it 4-3 for the Sharks.
Hashtag, oh my God, finally.
Oh my God, finally, indeed. AJ, another hat trick. I don't want to say from Patrick because it wasn't from Patrick. It was from Evander. Not to get our Canes confused.
I'm sorry. Doug Wilson needs to be like drawing up paperwork like tomorrow to extend him. Like, what, I mean, whatever it is.
Small sample size.
Small sample size, but you know what? I'll take it. The game that this guy has, yeah, okay. You put up four goals. Yeah, you're obviously on the score sheet. But we talked about this after the first couple of games. The dude just brings a physical presence to this team that we haven't seen since Klow. He has a nasty streak. Yeah. He hits. He doesn't take a lot of crap from anybody. And you look at the success that he is having with this team right now, I almost feel like it's kind of like, you know, I can finally breathe. You know, I'm just, maybe this is where I needed to be. Maybe look at how comfortable Jumbo has been since he came to the Sharks. He was in a little bit of a fishbowl, number one pick, Boston, kind of a, you know, there was a lot of things expected of Boston around that time frame. So he comes out here and it's, doesn't have to worry. He can go to a bar, he can go to the Safeway, he can go wherever and, you know, doesn't have to really worry about being bothered by anybody. Kane is going to be the same way, I feel like, out here. It's like, hey, I can just chill. You know, it's like, as much as people sit there and talk about, like, well, Patty always wanted to play in Toronto. Well, yeah, you're going to be in a huge fishbowl, but it was clear he was very comfortable playing here.
And to kind of go on to a side point with that, was another reason why Vinny Domfus wanted to stay in San Jose, because he was a UFA when we picked him up as a in a trade. So I mean, if he feels more comfortable that way, then more power to him on that case. But speaking of guys who had a 4-goal game, Tomas Hertl's like, wait a minute, guys, don't forget about me. Hertl kind of just puts it through Smith's legs when he couldn't leave a Braun's shot wide open.
And that, yeah. Well, I don't know. Was that from Braun? Was that a shot or a shot pass? Because that looked really good.
It was a shot that Smith kind of had control of a little bit, and then it peeked out and Hurdle, you know, tapped it in for his 19th of the season from Braun and Vlasic to finish off a 4-goal period.
And that goal doesn't go in unless Hurdle's crashing.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You need people to get into for those who do the HQ trivia app, he gets down to the nitty gritty. So Rock Hurdle, 3 goals in his last 2 games.
Yeah,
he's coming around again. Thank goodness for that.
I think that he is one of the smartest players on the team. I don't mean like, you know, he'll beat you in Trivial Pursuit and he's got a membership to Mensa. I mean,
good hockey IQ.
Yes. When he sees the opponents out there, he has a general idea of how long they've been out there on their shift. So if they're a little bit tired, he knows that he can push them until they're fatigued. Definitely with the goalies, he's got to know where their weaknesses are. For Mike Smith and him, especially, it's those close-up shots. So for him to be able to read and get that, just use all of that information out there effectively on the ice, I think that makes him an extremely smart player. So it's nice to see him get rewarded for that. That was such a good goal, man. Mike Smith didn't know what to do.
Well, and remember earlier in the game, I believe it was just a little bit earlier in that game, and I'm trying to remember who he was out there with, but Hurdle came into the offensive zone, and it was a short pass that was immediately fed back to him because Hurdle was streaking right towards the net and split 2 defenders. And got a shot off, and it didn't miss by much.
Yeah.
You know, I thought Mike Smith should have been pulled after the 3rd goal, because I didn't think he had his game at all.
Yeah, I think probably the only person in that entire building or who watched the broadcast who would disagree with you is
the coach.
Yeah, that's it.
No, that's a great point. Alex, because that goal was a bad goal. I mean,
it could have been saved, but at that point, if you're trying to make the playoffs, you need something to happen, some spark of energy. And I thought that was the move to do.
I love the fact that this coach said, no, I'm going to wait till they put, hang 5 on his neck. Then I'm going to pull him. And then the replacement guy. And then when there's 6 minutes left, I'm going to yank the guy that we replaced him with. Just for,
I can't believe they did that. And I mean, yeah, whoopity-doo for them. The first time it worked, the second time didn't work out so well for them. You never go full Roy.
Oh, the Patrick Buck is wrong with this one.
I think he's one of those coaches that is on the hot seat. Maybe not as much as Todd, but...
Well, they are the Flames.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
Oh, wait. How am I not ready for things like this?
Yeah, jeez.
I know.
Thank you. Jeez. AJ Strong will be premiering at the San Jose Improv after dark. Moving on to the 3rd period, Evander Kane gets his 4th goal of the game. Did I say Desert Dogs?
Somebody did now.
Yeah, see how that works? What it was? It's all this talk about Smith. That's what it is.
Former
Desert Dog.
See, thank you. I should have set it up like that. I was going to say you break up the rooster noise because, Evander Kane gets his 4th of the game, his 25th on the season. Pavelski gets in on the scoring, so... At 1:02 of the 3rd period, a nice tip-in rocket.
When that happened, I was super stoked. Of course I was. But then I kind of started to think, like, God, so it's his first Hattie, and he's just got to be feeling himself, like, all up in his oats, you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. So for him to get that 4, I kind of wonder if he felt like it was a surreal thing that was happening to him, or if he was like definitely in the moment, just because it's mind blowing. Like, okay, this is your first hat trick. Cool. But then you're going to go on and score another one. Oh, what? Mm-hmm.
And plenty of time to get a 5th.
Yeah.
And he had some chances to get the 5th for that matter.
Oh, damn near tucked it in coming around. Mm-hmm. Almost a beautiful wraparound.
The wraparound. Yeah, I knew what you're talking about.
Oh, my God. Like, I can already hear, like, Brody tweeting out, I got five on it from Looney's. And
just, right.
Like, oh, my Lord.
Oh, yeah. That for sure.
It doesn't get much more Bay Area than that song.
Oh, we'd be hella holla than that.
Somebody sorry. Explain to Chester the difference between props and sounds.
Okay. So for some reason, Calgary decided that they needed to go all out and pull the goalie with about 5 or 6 minutes to go. I guess Patrick Roy is a coaching consultant or something here. He gets, but unfortunately, Michael Ferland gets his 21st of the season. Makes it 6-4 with Monahan and Hamilton getting the assist. So with 5:35, they're down by two. But rest assured, proven goal scorer, Eric Fair gets in on the scoring. That's right. He gets and his
second. Only because Couture allowed it.
Hey, he probably feels safer already with that empty netter, right? He gets the empty netter. I feel safer already.
Oh, my God.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but you tell him.
Thank you, Navi. 16:02 the time of that goal. I thought he perfectly saucered it over Couture to not allow him to get the tip in for that. That's how it ends, 7-4. Alex, I'll talk to you about Martin Jones's night. He had 4 goals allowed on 34 shots. What did you take from Joner for a surprise start? I thought Dell would have had this.
He'll tonight, go tomorrow.
But Dell's probably going to go tomorrow in a strange twist with Dell from Alberta and Joner from Vancouver.
I'll just say that Jones had probably a shaky start until it was 3-3. And then he got his game together, made the saves he needed to. I thought the save in the third period, I can't remember who he did it to, but where he did a glove hand save that helped push the lead to 4-3. Very soon after Kane scored, I felt that was a critical part of the game. You know, he made the saves he needed to, but I felt if Kane didn't score those 4 goals, and I know that's a big if, but Kane is the real hero here, not Jones. And I think that's kind of the big story. I know Jones has been fantastic for the past 2 months, but I felt he's been a little bit inconsistent for the past week.
Yeah, but Sharks have had inconsistent offensive production all season long, and the people who they got for pickups to try to, you know, patch those needs didn't pan out. So, I mean, Doug finally got what he was looking for that we should have had at the beginning of the season.
And just to touch really quickly on what Alex was saying, and Kevin just mentioned it in the chat, which is I felt the same way. This game's more important. I don't care where Dell's from. I don't care where Jones is from. This game meant more. Mm-hmm. So, no, you're going to put your starter in a position to succeed and help the team win.
This was his 10th straight start?
Yes.
So, you know, I thought Dell should have started against Edmonton.
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, if that was a really questionable start, but, you know, I think it worked out in DeBoer's favor because of the way we started, which is not a good sign, but it worked out in our favor.
Yeah. You know,
I think there's one thing that none of us have mentioned so far, and maybe it's because it's a Calgary highlight, but can we talk about the goal that Johnny Gaudreau scored tonight?
Oh, it was
Calgary
sick.
Up 3-2. I mean, I don't even understand why Fairland and I'm trying to think who the other guy,
it was
Stone. Fairland and Stone both got assists on that, and I don't even know why, because it was a sick display of individual hockey prowess.
That, and also, I don't know what Jones and Tierney were doing. It seems like they were watching him shoot.
Really impressive.
I'm like, okay, why aren't you reacting? Just do something.
Like, if I'm Jones, I'm watching them go, I'm watching Johnny going, wow, that's pretty cool.
That's exactly what he did.
That's a nice goal, actually.
I wonder if goaltenders actually think like that, or if they're just like angry.
Well, we've all seen Pekka Rinne try to chop down a goalie net.
And Mike Smith's usually a guy that that is very emotional. I will say this, Chester, I think you had it on Twitter earlier, so I'll give you credit. Mike Smith's allowed like 55 goals in 25 games against the Sharks. And tonight he gave up 6. Oh my. Shoot, that's something else. I mean, I don't know what happened, but I think that Kevin LeBanc goal kind of got him out of the game a little bit. So let's go in the chat. I've been having it archived a little bit here on stuff. Chivo's saying we all agree that Kane is the best deadline acquisition for DW in his career. Wait and see on that, I think.
What was the question again?
We all agree that Kane is the best deadline acquisition for DW in his career.
I will agree with that if the Sharks are able to extend him. If this ends up being a rental, then I think you can debate it.
I've been a fan of the Brian Campbell trade. I thought that I thought that was a decent trade. I don't mind them not re-signing it because, like, honestly, that contract is ridiculous what they offered.
I think that the James Reimer trade was a pretty good one.
That's a good one. Sleepy Mofo saying Thornton, and I don't know if he's talking about this. That was not a deadline deal. That was done at the end of November.
But that kind of counts, though, because that kickstarted the Sharks.
That's
yeah, but we're talking about a deal that was done. Yeah, we're talking about a deadline.
I kind of count that, though.
You don't know how to count
them. No. In this sense, I'll if it was the most impactful trade in Sharks history, but that's different from trade deadline. But I get your point, Alex.
Yeah, it wasn't what the context was.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. Let's see. Keep going here.
You talk about impactful.
Brian Campbell was also Buffalo.
You can talk about Boyle. Getting Boyle. You can talk about getting Burns. I mean, also impactful moves.
Burns. Yeah, that might
be a anything. I would say that this, you could potentially quantify this as the biggest, I guess I'd say, not blockbuster move that Wilson has ever made. You know, Thornton was a blockbuster at the time. Burns was a blockbuster. Boyle was a blockbuster. When you see all the moving pieces that were involved in all that. Kane, not so much of a blockbuster, really didn't give up a whole lot to get him. If Wilson can extend Kane, this is going to go down is probably his biggest deadline acquisition ever.
No, I can't say. It's too small sample size yet to say that kind of stuff. Sorry.
If the Sharks make it to the Stanley Cup final, would you say if the Kane trade, and they don't re-sign him afterwards, is the best trade deadline trade the Sharks have ever made?
Ooh, good question.
And I'm not saying they win it, by the way. Just make it.
Let's talk about that after they get there.
No. I'm asking you now.
I'll take it. I'll say this. If they get to the final, considering that Reimer didn't play, he played a period in the playoffs.
That's my point, you can't really judge that until you see the impact that Kane has. Say that that Kane literally just puts the team on his shoulders and, you know, the Sharks just play 28 games in the playoffs and Kane has points in 24 of them, then yeah, you could say yes. But if they play 28 games and Kane has, 7 points, and you go, well, maybe not so much.
Yeah, and how often does that happen where some guy's just blazing hot during regular season, playoffs come around, and he's dead cold fish on arrival?
Bill Guerin.
I was going to say the playoffs can make people shrink. Shrinkage.
I was in the pool!
It's like cold water, baby. Saying, man.
Just kind of going over the chat, Bearded Guy 661 I'm not getting my hopes up yet because his value has only skyrocketed in this stretch, so his price tag might be a little bit higher than expected. I completely agree with that. I mean, the price tag that he might have had before he came here is probably a little more different than tonight. We'll say that.
So chances are, if you re-signed Kane, you have to let go of Pavelski when his contract is up, if I'm reading that right.
I don't know. The Sharks have an awful lot of cap space. The other thing being, it's not like Doug Wilson, you know, like, has a history or reputation of overpaying guys, right? No, it's, you have to take it. Doesn't Jones and Vlasic's deals kick in next season?
Yes.
Right?
And then you have to,
you have Hurdle. You have Tierney that need
to. Yeah,
you have to extend because their deals are up. You got, and Tierney is going to get a, you know, a decent bump. Hurdle's going to, both of them have had quote unquote contract years. You have to make a decision on Thornton. Do I think Thornton will take a haircut? Absolutely. But the Sharks are going to have to decide if they're willing to continue. And don't forget, there is the possibility, however remote, out there for John Tavares. If the Sharks somehow pull the magic, you know, the most magical of rabbits out of the hat and get Tavares, then we have seen Thornton's last game in teal.
Have we?
Yes, I think I just said that.
I don't think so. I think the All-Star game.
If the Sharks get Tavares, we have seen Thornton's last game in teal. I will bet a Brazil jersey on this.
Sharks are not going to get Tavares. It's a pipe dream. You guys are dumb.
I think you are right. But if they do, for some bizarre reason, Thornton's gone.
AJ, stop stealing my ideas.
It's not going to happen, all right?
It's not going to happen. Like, just like the Sharks scoring two power play goals in a game will not happen this season. Sleepy Mofo, Fair has been a great pickup. He is who he is. Great face-off guy and prototypical fourth-line center. Let's give some love to Eric Fair. He has played pretty solid as a fourth-line center for the Sharks this season.
He's come in very much like Nick Spaulding. Like, hasn't set the world on fire, but has been a solid addition. And I think even Brody and Curtis brought that up in the last one of the last pregames, is that Kane obviously is going to get all the pub and kind of stole any fire that Fair might have had. But so far, I would say this is a fairly good addition.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Jerry F., I'm not sure if his last name is actually Fair or not, but he said he saw Fair play in San Diego, and although it was the NHL, I was impressed. Yep. In fact, I think DW was impressed with him.
These puns are not fair. I'm just going to say.
Oh. Well, then you go into the chat with Chester Tivo. When did AJ become the carrot top of After Dark?
He's just lamenting my sound effects.
Carrot top has props. AJ has sound
effects. Effects.
It's added production value, folks. Let's just put it that way.
It totally
and
is.
Let me address this. You know, Chivo, whatever it is.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. But this is how upset I am. This is what happens when you try to add a little bit of value to this. Like, I'm this to try to make things a little more interesting. And look at this. And we get crap from like a Photoshop Jedi. Just calm down. We're doing this for you, Chivo, to make things more interesting. You know, if I added some Stefan effects, you would be laughing your ass off right now, and you know it.
Oh man!
If I had on here like your mother and I are separating, you would be laughing your ass off.
All right. Final. Oh wow! Thank you, Kevin Lacey, with the final there. We'll get to that in the AHL portion of the wraparound. That's Mike Nevis. I lost one cell phone and three glasses in the Stanley Cup final.
I'm going to get a hat that says make Teal Town great again. That's what I'm working on.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Wow.
And with that, I think it's time to move on to the NHL wraparound.
It's time for the reach around.
Good for you.
What was that, Rocket?
Said it's time for the reach around. Bend over and grab your ankles, boys.
Yeah, that's the sound effect I would have said. Let's talk about the scores in the NHL this evening. In Washington, the Capitals double up the Islanders 6-3 in that game. Thank you for loading NHL. Matthew Barzal gets his 19th of the season. John Tavares gets his 32nd. For the Caps, they had six different goal scorers as Braden Holtby gets the win. In overtime in Ottawa, or, well, Canada, as they like to say up there. It's
pronounced Canada.
Marian Gaborik, Matt Duchene, and Matt Hoffman get goals. Hoffman's was the OT winner as the Sens beat the Stars 3-2. That's a huge 1 point that the Stars get to keep them in the wild card race.
Sounds like the Senators were able to beat the Bishop.
Hey, yeah.
Yes, they did, as Bishop makes his return. In Colorado, the Predators clinch a playoff spot by beating the Colorado Avalanche 4-2.
You had one job, McKinnon, one job!
and he had one goal in the game. His 36.
All you needed was a hat trick, damn it!
Sissons and Forsberg were the two goal scorers for Nashville. Nashville becomes the first team in the West to clinch a playoff spot.
Who cares?
Oh man, I feel like Rocket just walked around Nashville, just like,
hey, where are the white women at?
That's pretty much it.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Except they're everywhere and they're drunk.
Games in progress. The Minnesota Wild leading Vegas. Could Vegas actually lose back-to-back home games?
The fuck, bro?
I know, right? I think we might have two teams might have had Vegas flu shots. It's amazing. thank you. Zucker, Coyle, and Dumba have the goals for Minnesota. Also in progress in the playoff race, especially in the Pacific, the Ducks lead the Red Wings 4-2. Richie, Grant, Perry, and Ryan Kessler have scored goals for Quackenheim. And in AHL action tonight, the Bakersfield Condors double up on the San Jose Barracuda. That final score is 8-4. Not looking good for
the who?
For the Barracuda and their playoff hopes. San Jose Barracuda penalty on number 53, Nikita Hufflepuffs.
Oh my god! That is a complete, yes, that is 100% accurate rendition. Yes. That's so true. Yes. Nikita Hufflepuffs.
And for those, because it is noteworthy, I think, even though on a hockey show, a 16th seeded college basketball team beat a number one seeded basketball team in the NCAA tournament. Oh boy.
Burn your brackets, people.
Burn your brackets.
Hey, just you guys want to play a little round of if the playoffs started today?
Oh yeah.
Do it.
Okay, so in the Eastern Conference, the current matchup would be Tampa Bay against the New Jersey Devils. Now they've got one game left to play against each other, but in their first two meetings, it looks like Tampa lost to New Jersey. So there is a really good chance that the Devils might take Tampa Bay in the first round of this year's playoffs. Interesting. Boston would be against Toronto. Washington would see Columbus. And then the battle for Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh versus Philadelphia. Oh, that's gotta be a large match. That. Yeah, it unfortunately it looks like so Philadelphia and Pittsburgh see each other four times in the regular season, and Pittsburgh has beaten Philly three out of four times. Their next game is on the 25th of March. So we'll see what happens then. Let's see. Okay, so over in the Western Conference, Vegas would be checking out Colorado's goods. So they saw each other once, Colorado 0, Vegas 7. They still got two games left to play each other 2 days apart. It's a home and home. Then San Jose would see Los Angeles. As we all know, this is a really, really familiar story. And I think at this point we should just Rochambeau and get on to the second round because it's just whatever.
Yeah.
And then yeah, Nashville would see Dallas. And I'm not quite sure how I feel about that because Nashville has beaten Dallas three times. Dallas beat Nashville in the shootout once. I think if Dallas outskates Nashville, they have a chance of beating their defense because Nashville can't play 60 minutes of sustained speed hockey. Don't ask me how I know this. I just know these things. And then
yeah, but do Winnipeg. You think Ben Bishop is up to that task?
Yes, I do. I think if it's battle between Bishop and Rene, yeah. Bishop
they
has
are
it.
They are easily the scariest team in the playoffs if their goaltender holds up.
Yes.
So
and
I don't.
Rene has good nights and he has really bad nights. He's not consistent. So.
Yeah, I've been really disappointed with Dallas. I thought they would have been a easy first seed or at least a division leading seed. Just not the year for them right now.
No, they can't outscore their goal deficits. Like you got Lehtinen and I don't know who else. Yeah, it's just
Bishop.
Bishop. Yes, right. Yeah. They got rid of Naimi. Okay, so. Speaking of that guy,
who has not gotten rid of?
Go
me.
On.
I hear that the Canadians are actually showing a lot of love towards Antti Niemi and that he's actually doing a pretty good job over there. So
he's Vezina worthy for a reason.
I can't wait for the bottom to fall out there. And for
I'm sorry, what did he just say?
No, he's actually had a
yes.
Alex is laughing like crazy, but he's actually since he's been in Montreal has put in some decent numbers.
But how many teams did he have to burn through and ruin before he got there?
Okay, so
this is third trade.
Yeah, that's part of the charm. You go with
Listen, I don't want a high mileage car that's had 17 different owners. I bought a car that almost had 200,000 miles on it, but I was the third owner. So I'm cool with that. And it came with all of the records. Like he's got miles on him. I don't want. Anyway, the last matchup is Winnipeg versus Minnesota. And that actually looks like it'd be fairly tight.
Describing how Islanders handled Nabby.
No, we're talking about how I handled my dating in my 20s. Oh my
god! Well, hey now.
A lot of miles on some of them.
A lot of miles, a lot of previous owners, no contact.
Exactly.
Oh man. Jerry F saying Nick Nolenberger. I mean, if you guys want me to do Nick Nolenberger, I was Rudolph Balzers with a great shot and it beats that goaltender from Bakersfield. It is only 7-4. Bakersfield with only 3 minutes to go in the third.
Whatever it is you're doing.
Yes. Score.
Score.
Scores. Ryan Carpenter, shorthanded goal. And for the first time in franchise history, the San Jose Barracuda are going to the second round.
Thanks, God.
Good evening, Sharks fam.
Oh boy. See you. Okay. All right. Let's. Oh, jeez. Kevin's like that's
good.
That I'm just gonna use that.
That's good
for you. There you go. There's a new sound.
Good for you.
Yeah. All right. Sleepy Mofo says a poll. What voice do you want Puck Guy to do or not do? Really? Do we have to ask that? I think we all know which one that they want.
Hold on. Aside from Shorthouse, what other voices are we talking
about? What are the voices?
Yeah.
Nolenberger.
Dude, you guys think that we're fucking doing the show with Seth MacFarlane here? I mean, what are you talking about?
Giggity, giggity.
What are the other voices? Seriously.
I'm trying to figure out.
No. I will take.
I will take Short.
Okay, hold on. Give me a Nolan Burger for a second.
Nick Nolan Burger.
Okay,
of the not, call.
Okay. Oh, no, okay.
Good, though.
That's decent. Your Short House is okay. The one that makes me want to like throat punch you is when you do like the mama hides the cookie things or whatever.
No,
it's not that. It's the buffalo guy that makes me want to throat punch you.
Yeah,
it makes me want to throat punch you every time. I will take Short House over that guy every time. Every time when you sit there and talk about something about buffalo, yeah, that's what I want to like.
That's,
you know.
And that's not fair because every time I mention buffalo, I have to use that voice now.
Yeah, no.
And you add one more to the population of Pommenville.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one that makes me want to like inflict bodily harm on you. Just saying.
Oh, I needed the show so badly. You have no idea, guys. Thank you so much.
The show needs you just so hard.
Yes. A pet guy needs a Chicago impersonation.
Can we also admit, like, hello, stick tap to one Miss Rocket Backhander, has not been on here in quite some time, hasn't been on been able to join us, scheduling problems on the Pucknologist. Beautiful to see her tonight.
Hi, guys.
Yes.
I'm
absolutely
still here.
Absolutely. And I will say this, we forgot to mention it was Alex's birthday earlier this week.
Sounds like a you problem, not a me.
Yeah,
problem.
Well, you know, I'm usually the guy that's on top of all the birthdays from the Sharks fans on Twitter. So
that's true.
My apologies. I hope you have a great time this weekend. Chat, do you have anything besides any other ideas that my sleepy mofo is?
Anything is better than Short House.
So I apologize to those who have sensitive ears to all the impersonating tonight.
Can hold on for like a hot second. Maybe like Rocket explain to us what it would sound like if JFK called a game?
Oh God.
They work hard in the dirty areas because it is difficult, not because it is easy.
Because it's hard.
In front of the net and they score.
Oh, when you score like that, it's hard. Yeah. It's very hard.
Oh, it's hard to beat when you score hard in front of the net.
When you park in the corner.
Shot. Pretty much shoot for the stars.
Hard to beat when you score 4 goals, right, Cho? Yeah.
But how great would it be? Okay, so I don't know if you've ever seen it, and we're just going to like, you know, take a little left turn here, a little diversion. Have you ever seen those YouTube videos? There's, I don't know who's putting these together, but it's like these two Australian guys who, actually it might be just one Australian guy, who has like never seen American football. And he's trying to do play-by-play for it. And it's like, oh, here's this guy. And, you know, oh, he throws it to that guy. And, oh, everybody wants to tackle him for some reason. The whole thing is hysterical. But somebody had brought up, like, what if you had, like, Apu from The Simpsons calling a hockey game? It would just be like, oh, Pavelski, look at the way he shoot the puck like that. And oh, my God, somebody did like a little spurt of that. Like everybody, if you get the guys who normally call cricket in India to call hockey in Canada, and then you get the guys who call rugby in Australia to call, you know, some other like curling or something. I mean, just all over the map. Hysterical.
Do you ever listen to Mexicans or Hispanics announce the Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, because I love how they just he scores the touchdown score.
Oh man,
dude, you don't need to bring the microphone closer, dude. We can all hear you.
Outside of that, though, you've got like if you had the guys who commentate the bass fishing contests, if they were doing hockey, it would be like, and get your passes to hurdle.
Oh, like golf.
Yeah. Oh, that's a beautiful shot. It's in the net.
He's 14 feet from the net. And
Oh, oh my God. It's in.
Jones
that would make hockey a completely different sport.
The goalie looking around to see if the buffet has opened yet.
Yeah. No. No. On the par three, Eric Holla has scored for the Vegas Golden Knights to make it 3-1.
No, I like the par three. But the best part, I was like, here comes the shot. And it seems to have ramped up the stick and knocked out 8 of Couture's teeth.
Thank you, Kevin, for that update.
That's
by the way.
Perfect.
It's 2:25, and Brent Burns hasn't done shit.
Hey, stop stealing hockey tricks. Oh, wait, I've done that. Yeah. That's 3 times I've been on the par fives. All right, I think we've gone overboard. Yes, the NHL wraparound was finished.
It is March 16th. Somehow, Yannick Hansen is still a member of the San Jose Sharks.
With a point tonight. First game goal.
Good for him.
Yes. All right. With that,
I think we should do the rest of the show just like that. So, with that, thank you very much for tuning in.
And I say, fuck you, AJ.
Oh, boy. Is this a Friday night or what with these guys? You can find
Sláinte.
You can find me on the social media.
Era, you can find me on the social at Era AJ.
No, just don't. But go ahead and say your final thoughts, Mr. Strong.
Oh, F you.
And that's at AJ underscore strong on the social.
How awesome would that be? I'm like, hi, at FU here.
I'm not going to lie. Not, I have like 3 of those I hate AJ Strong Twitter handles.
Yes! dude, you need to get in line behind this other guy on Twitter tonight. Get in line. Yeah, get in my hater line. AJ underscore strong on the Twitter, on the Instagram, also doing photos at Teal Town USA on the Insta as well. Should have a new Pucknologist rolled out for you Monday morning, guys.
All righty. Rocket, your final thoughts on where the people can find you.
Final thoughts. This was a wonderful win for the San Jose Sharks against the Calgary Flames. Possibly because Matt Tkachuk was not out there agitating things as he likes to do. Once we clear the Soviet Union, we will be heading off to wherever we are next. If the Russians will allow us, we will get there first. So, yeah, my name is Rocket Backhander. You can find me on Twitter at @RBackhander76. Check me out on Instagram. Living life here as a Sharks fan in Nashville is kind of strange. Rocket Backhander, one word. And that's it, people. That's it.
Oh, my God.
Good to be back.
And with that, Alex, good luck on topping
that. How am I supposed to follow up that?
Yeah, you were all popping off like you were
yell and scream and cuss a lot. Just yell and scream and cuss a lot into the mic. That works for you.
Oh, I like this. Why is Mayor Quimby on the show?
Exactly.
Oh, man.
No, seriously, it is Mayor Quimby impression. It's absolutely 100% true.
You know what? Just find my Twitter handle in the bio. Pass it off,
dude. We should have done that at the very, very beginning. Oh my God! And then just been like, you know,
yeah, what he said.
You know, just let Rocket do it, and then we all just go, yeah, what she said. It's all good.
Yeah. All right. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at PuckGuy14, and also on Instagram. Oh wow, boy howdy! 4 people. We went so off the rails that even
the whales.
Yes. See, there we go. We went so off the rails.
Why are we bringing Hartford into this?
Well, I was going to... well, see, here's my thing. You talk about whales. Well, there's an orca on the Vancouver Canucks jersey, and I was going to say, you know, this game went so off the rails that even Christian Ehrhoff's slap shot is more accurate.
Wow.
In case you missed anything or you want to watch this wonderful thing again, you can check us out on TLTownUSA.com or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, you name it, you love it, you want some more of it? Yeah, sure, why not? In fact, you're going to get more of it because tomorrow, We are back after the Sharks play the Vancouver Canucks. and folks, these three might not be on there, so guess who's got to run the show?
Sort of.
What a hell.
Yeah, I love you too. With that, we will be back with you following the Sharks and Canucks tomorrow night as the Sharks get closer and closer to clinching a playoff spot. With the win tonight, coupled with, St. Louis didn't play tonight, so the magic number is now down to 17 to clinch a spot in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They're getting oh so closer. But, yes, and don't forget April 7th, the tweet up at fan appreciation night. Ah, boy. And yes, the buttons are being designed as we speak. So until then.
Well, also mention too, the two games leading up to the final game, they've rolled out another round of mystery pucks.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, Earth Day.
Well,
they
good
announced
for
it.
You.
Yeah, they announced it. So, no, this is something that like a lot of Sharks fans were like ticked off about last season. And when they started this season, they announced three. It was the Hockey Fights Cancer, the emoji ones, and the Golden State Warriors. And since then, they've done the President's Day. They're doing, you know, they had some for the wine event. So they listening to the fans. Just saying.
That's good. That's good because we all have some mystery pucks. So we will be back with you following Sharks in Vancouver. And until then, keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal. Thank you and good night.
Invited by Tengu Sushi here at the Shark Tank. And while you are free to blow my Chichu whistle, keep your hands off my wasabi.